Abhaya and friends. First of all, I want to say simply that I am very glad to be here this evening in the midst of you all. And as Abhaya has just so delicately hinted, I don't come here to the Norwich Meditation Centre all that often. In fact, I'm very rarely seen indeed. And considering the fact that I live only 6 miles from this place, that might seem to be a rather remarkable fact. And perhaps we have to produce some sort of Buddhistic version of the old proverb, the nearer the church, the further from God. Or, in this case, of course, we should say, the further from no God. But of course, my excuse, as Abhaya has in fact so kindly suggested, making my excuses for me as though I can't make them for myself, I have been very busy. Busy, of course, with FWBO affairs. And especially in the course of this last year, I must say, I've been very busy indeed, and it really is no exaggeration that I could do with. I didn't actually say 6 more secretaries, I said 6 secretaries for the sake of the record. That is to say, 4 more in addition to those I have already, one of whom is winging his way back from the south of France at the moment, whether he went strictly on business, and the other, I believe, is in Brighton. Neither are at Pabloka at the moment, but that's by the way. It did occur to me when I was thinking what I was going to say to you this evening, it did occur to me that a year ago I was in India. And when I was in India, I kept, just for those 3 months, a diary. It was just a very brief note, a very brief record indeed, a very sketchy record of where I went, what I did, what lectures I gave, who I met, what time I went to bed, and so on. So it did just occur to me when I was preparing this talk this morning that it might be interesting to just look at that diary and see what I was doing this time last year, on this very day, 22nd of February. So looking in my diary of those 3 months in India, I discovered that on this day, a year ago, I arrived in Ajmer. I arrived in Ajmer on my way from Bombay via Ahmedabad, where I spent a week giving lectures, on my way to Delhi. Ajmer, by the way, is in the state of Rajputana. So I arrived in Ajmer on the morning of this very day, a year ago, and I arrived in the company of Lokamitra, Kevala, Nagabodhi and Dharmarakshita, most of whom are known to quite a few of you, though I don't think everybody knows all of these, all the members. We arrived after a night journey. We spent the whole night on the train. I believe we did get some sleep. And early in the morning we arrived in this very picturesque city, I think I can call it, of Ajmer, which is full of all sorts of historical remains and monuments, temples, palaces, towers, minarets, the whole lot. And I remember that in the course of the day we did quite a bit of sightseeing that first of our 2 days in Ajmer. We went, I remember, to a place called Pushkar, which is a Hindu holy place, a place of pilgrimage for Hindus. It's a sort of, well, one could say, holy city or at least wholly bizarre. It consists of a vast lake, and all around that lake there are temples, yeah? And there are ghats, there are flights of steps, you know, going down into the water. And there are very, very picturesque sadhus and, you know, holy men, just like you see in the illustrated books on India, just sitting there with their matted hair and smeared with ashes. Yeah? And all sorts of priests doing all sorts of things for all sorts of people. And I remember one of the friends who was with us, an Indian Buddhist friend, got into quite an argument, you know, with one of these priests because he happened to go down one of these ghats with his shoes on, which you're just not supposed to do in holy places. This particular place, by the way, Pushkar, is associated with the god Brahma, who, as some of you know, appears in the Pali scriptures, even in a rather humble and subordinate capacity. But anyway, he has some places of pilgrimage dedicated to him, some holy places in India, though not very many, and this is one of them. And I also remember that in Ajmer on that day, which happened actually to be Shivaratri, the night of Shiva, I gave a talk at the local Buddhist centre, just as I'm doing this evening. So I couldn't help recalling these few memories. And I remember that I spoke on that occasion to about 60 or 70 people, most of whom were not Buddhist in fact, but Hindus. And in the course of my talk, I told them about the FWBO and about various other things. Now, after my return to England, just over a year ago, I spent some time at Pavaloka, spent a few months at Pavaloka, but from time to time I paid quite a number of visits to London, where I took study groups and so on. And then, of course, in the autumn, last autumn, beginning of September, I went off to Tuscany to Il Convento for that three-month pre-ordination course, from which I returned early in the month of December. And since then, I've been at Pavaloka, only 6 miles away, even though you haven't seen here, they're pretty much off me. And some of you might have been wondering, well, you know, what has Bhante been doing? How does he pass his time? They have visions, no doubt, all these secretaries madly scribbling away and banging on their typewriters and answering telephones and arranging interviews. But what does Bhante actually do? It's something, perhaps, of a mystery. Well, I must confess that nowadays I'm occupied mainly with literary work. That is to say, I'm trying to get on with literary work in between the telephone calls and the interviews and the study groups and the weekends and so on. And only a few days ago I was sort of trying to take stock of what I've done in the way of literary work in the course of the last 2.5 months. So it might be of interest to some of you to know. First of all, I finished editing the transcript. It was a rather lengthy transcript of a seminar I took some years ago on a little book entitled The Threefold Refuge. And in the course of that seminar, which I think lasted a week, we went into, I think, almost every aspect of the Threefold Refuge. That is to say, refuge in the Buddha, refuge in the Dharma, and refuge in the Sangha. So that's now entirely written out. I think there's about 350 pages awaiting a typist. I'm sure we can find one. So, after doing that, I wrote a preface to Subhuti's book. I'm sure you all know, at least you should know by this time, about Subhuti's book. Subhuti's book on the FWBO, entitled Buddhism for Today, which is coming out, I believe, next month. Perhaps there'll be another celebration in connection with that. In addition, in the course of the last 2.5 months, I've edited, that is to say, completely, you know, rewritten, three of the lectures that I gave when I was in India a year ago. I've written them up, I've edited them for translation into Marathi and publication in our Marathi quarterly, which is called Buddhayana. I don't know if any of you know about, or if many of you know about this Marathi quarterly of ours. Perhaps I should say a few words about it. It's in its fourth year of publication. It comes up, as I've said, quarterly, and it contains articles on Buddhism, lectures, mostly, I'm afraid, by me. Yeah? Well, perhaps I shouldn't say afraid, because there seems to be a demand for these things, so one supplies the demand. I've just sent off these three lectures, duly edited, all of which will appear in one issue. At present, between 4,000 and 5,000 copies of each issue are printed, and it goes all over Maharashtra. And in India, one must remember that people being poor, a magazine or a newspaper is not just read by one person. In England, you know, people are a bit individualistic. Everybody likes his own copy of the Times. Eh? Everybody likes his own copy of the newsletter, or his own copy of Mitrata. Eh? People like to buy their own copy. They don't share. But in India, people can't afford to do that. So you can find quite easily a dozen or 20 people reading one copy of a newspaper. Not all at once, of course. Though sometimes you do see 4 or 5 people reading a single copy of a newspaper at the same time, different sheets. So in this way, we can be quite sure that 15 to 20 people read every copy of Buddhayana in India, or rather in Maharashtra, the state of Maharashtra where it circulates. So that adds up to quite a number of people who are being influenced by the FWBO, by the ideals of the FWBO, through this Marathi publication of ours, Buddhayana. So, in addition to preparing that material, I've also edited during the last 2.5 months the material for the next issue of Mitrata, that is to say, Mitrata 41. The material for Mitrata 40, the one that's being launched this evening, was prepared in Tuscany.